Good morning, Counselor Louise Wallace Richmond.
No, good morning, Curator Tracy.
I was just a little ripped off that Trevor and Brent got to congratulate you first.
That's okay.
On Voice of the Shoe Swap.
Voice of the Shoe Swap.
But it is a very deep, heartfelt congratulations on behalf of my whole family and the whole art sector the entire Shoe Swap. We're very happy because you think differently.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Thank you. I am very happy, too. It's a change for everybody, right? I keep saying people keep congratulating me, and I say, no, no, congratulate us. We did this. I mean, I didn't go to the polls 1,700 times on, right?
Yeah.
You guys did this, so yeah. I'm so excited.
It's a dream come true for you.
It really is a dream, yeah.
When you were a page at Parliament doing your little running around, did you ever think that?
There was an MP the last day our last day in the House, which is always very sad because you pages love being in the House. And I was 19, 20. Anyway, I think I teared up a bit and he said, don't worry, you'll be back.
Uh-oh.
And I remember thinking, that's a sign.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, when you're prime minister, will you appoint me to the Senate?
Well, there might not be one then.
But if there is one?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, good.
But I'll make you work hard.
I don't mind.
All right.
I want to work hard. That's the thing. I just want the opportunity.
I actually think being a senator would be quite interesting.
I think so too. And I would not go to Mexico for the whole time.
No.
I would just work.
Yes.
I'd be so happy to work.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway,
speaking of things that need to change.
Yes. So our whole show today, because both Louise and I have experienced quite a lot of different changes and are facing changes in the future, we thought today would be a great day.
In the immediate future, yeah.
Yeah. So. Would be to talk about the art of change.
Yes, because it is an art, isn't it?
It sure is. It's a fine art. Holy.
Very fine art.
And the more you look into it, the more complicated it gets, because we are still... deep at our core are very primitive creatures.
Yes, and we all deal with change in similar, or the science of change, rather, is quite similar. But let's talk about your changes. You have exciting things, too.
Well, okay, the big change, of course, is moving to a new house.
Yes.
So we've been in our house for 12 years, and you just do not imagine the kind of stuff you accumulate when you're in a place.
Like, no,
you
think, I can imagine.
We live simply and we have a small place. We're fine. No, there's so much stuff.
Oh, so much stuff.
So there's the stuff that you deal with, but there's also just the change of environment. Where is the egg flipper? Where is the, you know, like all the things that have to move to a new spot?
It's in a cardboard box.
Yeah, I know where it was in the old house.
Yes.
So that change is pretty spectacular, but it's also very exciting. And I remember, this is something that Mary Lou Tapson Jones said years, years, years ago. Every once in a while, you have to repot yourself.
Yes.
And it's what keeps you healthy.
Oh, my goodness. Of course you do, because we're no smarter than nature, are we?
No.
But I will say this. You need to be careful with yourself and your family, because there are the three most stressful changes are...
Death,
divorce,
and
moving. Right?
I know.
Yeah.
We're being very careful.
Good.
We've actually taken the whole month.
Just be gentle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To sort of take the time to paint and do, you know, like kind of make the place our own before we actually move in. We have the luxury of that month, which is, I think, really important.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So, and then I have got that going on, but then I've got another one too, because I just spent the weekend taking a painting workshop with Barry Rafis, who's quite an accomplished painter in the interior. And I was very excited, and we had a very small group of people who've been working with acrylic and oils for quite a long time together for a full intensive.
Tell us a little bit about Barry. Barry is an artist, but he's also a juror.
He is. Yes. He's been a juror for our members' show a couple of times over the past few years. He is AFCA member? Is that what it is? ASFCA? I don't know. Something. He's in the upper ups of the Federation of Canadian Artists. And he teaches. He's a workshop facilitator extraordinaire. And he's an abstract artist. And he's quite brilliant. He uses a combination of texture and paint. And his work is quite spectacular.
And it will be in the next...
It will be in the Dark Nights exhibition in December.
Exciting.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's somebody who I admire, not just because he paints well, but because he helps educate people about abstract art.
Mm-hmm.
He pulls a lot of his ideas and imagery from nature. Yes. From rust patterns on cars to lichen on rocks to
Because nature ice is patterns the best on water. Designer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, ice patterns. Yeah. Talk about ice patterns on the lake.
Yeah. Now. And he brought photographs when he had a solo exhibition at the gallery here. He brought photographs of his inspiration pieces so that we could see. We could see where he derives these colors and patterns from.
Oh,
so fantastic. That it doesn't look like, you know, people sometimes look at abstract art and think, well, I don't get it.
I don't see what it is. What's or what's it supposed to be? That's my favorite thing.
And they want to see stuff. Some people look at that stuff and say, oh, I see a duck and he's wearing a hat and, you know, they want to see and identify familiar. But what he was trying to show is that patterns in nature can become beautiful all by themselves without being a thing,
right?
An identifiable object.
Wow.
So I really admire him. Anyway.
And that's what change is all about. When people say, oh, I see a duck with a hat in a cloud, right? What are they really saying? I am challenging, it's a challenge for me to change my perspective.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It is. It's true. You know? And so here I am sitting with six other artists who've got their own style, their own methods, their own techniques. And suddenly somebody is telling them, okay, now try this and now do that and don't do this, but do this.
Mm.
Wow. That was interesting.
I bet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because the thing that drives me crazy is when people say, well, I've always done it like that.
Oh, gosh. I know.
Right?
Well, in the volunteer sector, we come across that a lot, right? Because have your comfort zone.
Yes.
And if it works, don't change. Mm-hmm. And that's been the rule.
Yeah, if it isn't, you know, don't fix if it, what is the expression?
Don't fix it if it ain't broke.
Don't fix it. Yeah.
But
I disagree.
Well,
I say smash it up. Try again.
Make it broke.
Yeah.
Let's see how it works.
Exactly.
Break it so we can see the inside.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and that's just, I mean, that, it depends, you know, it's all about resources and how much time to spend on things.
And so what was the vibe like? And, I mean, I guess everyone who was at the workshop was a willing participant, but there must have been moments of, I don't know about this.
Well, yeah, because I think that it's physically very hard to change.
Yeah, like my palms are a little sweaty just thinking about having someone tell me, now try this.
Yeah. Mm. And honestly, like, you know, I've been, so I graduated in 94. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing this for 20 years. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it a certain way for 20 years.
20 years.
And I actually got to a point on Sunday, halfway through the day, where he's looking at the piece that I'm working on, which is quite a significant sized canvas, and says, what's going on? Like, why aren't you pushing this?
Yes.
You know, and honestly, I was stuck. I was just stuck because to do things the way he's suggesting them and try to reconcile that with the way I normally do it, because I don't want to change my style, right?
Yes.
I'm thinking like, I just want to be me. I don't want to be him. And so I was trying to figure out a way to make it work together. And I was just stuck. And so he actually took my brush, mixed up a whole new color that I don't normally use, and went, and just did this big mark across my canvas.
Oh my gosh.
In this beautiful turquoisey deep blue area that I was really happy with. And he took this big whitish yellow oxide brush stroke, blah, and it changed everything. And then it was like permission.
Oh, okay.
Well, right then. And so I took that same yellow oxide white and went here, 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 and here, and did this and did that and blocked this out and define this shape with all these negative parts. Oh my gosh, it was exciting.
It
was an awesome piece.
Were you exhausted?
I was exhausted.
Yeah, I bet.
But I was so happy. I was so proud of my painting. Like, I came home and I get my kids, come and look, come and look.
Nice.
So that's what change can do, right?
Yes.
It can stump you, but then when it happens, you're like, wow, I didn't even know that was possible. Mm-hmm. So that was,
and it can be quite,
that was my weekend.
It can happen quite quickly.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I know for the election, during the day I was perfectly fine, and then at about 4 o'clock the butterflies hit me, and by 8:20 or 8:40 it was done. Thank goodness you text me, because I couldn't find the results on Civic Info where I was looking, and then boom, it was done. I woke up Sunday morning and I was tired, but I felt complete calm. So
okay,
I went
so
from 6 weeks of
that
total,
right?
Anxiety to total calm. It was like, okay, the storm is, you know.
So now I want to
like
know
the weather.
What is the science of that?
What
happens in your brain?
I don't know. I think it must be chemical. There has to be some sort of hormonal, dopamine.
Well, and what's the stress hormone again? What is that I can't remember. Anyway, whatever the stress hormone is must just kind of dissipate once something is resolved.
Yes.
Because
what
change
is the stress hormone? Let's
because
find that
what
out.
The change part, I think the part that scares people about change is the in-between time, right? Making the change.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you this for free. That 4 hours was a nightmare. I was pacing and jumping up and down and trying to stay calm. And
Yeah.
So what is that stress?
So it's the limbo, but in between the time that you know change is going to happen and the time that you're in your new pattern or in your new behavior is probably, you know, your brain is probably reorganizing itself in that time period. So it's, of course. And then, okay, so now, wait, if we're going to stay with the science thing.
Yeah, I'm going to look up the stress hormone.
Okay, you just do that. But I'm going to talk about the fight or flight thing because essentially change comes right down to fight or flight again.
Yes.
And we've talked about this before. When we are facing danger.
Oh, Violet, text this just in. Oh. Violet, our lovely Violet, our VP, as I like to call her, says cortisol is the stress hormone.
Oh, thank you, Violet.
Thank you, Violet. See?
So maybe that's what it is. The cortisol just goes poof.
Yes.
And it's gone.
I probably used it all. I'm all out.
You're good for a couple months now.
I think so. And it builds up again. But, you know.
Yeah. No, I think that's totally valid. And I think that our neuropathways can change as quickly as we have made a decision. Mm-hmm. And so once a decision happens, a new pathway is built and wham.
Just like with having a baby, your entire brain apparently rewires.
Yeah.
Or a teenager's whole brain is.
Yeah.
I mean, we sort of know about that.
Yeah.
In our households.
Uh-huh.
We had some major rewiring going on lately.
But, oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, and it's so, there really is the physiological lessons that change teaches us are so important. And we're all capable of it.
Yeah, we are. So we've got the red alert thing going on. Our primitive brain says, red alert, mm-hmm. when something is not the same.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the fight or flight. And the cortisol kicks in and all the others, the adrenaline kicks in. Everything happens to make us make a fast decision and get away from or deal with the change.
And it doesn't even have to be a big change. Do you ever notice when you get your haircut that everybody notices? Oh, hey, did you get your haircut? Oh, hey, you look different. Did you get your haircut? That's what that is. Or did you shave your mustache or did you grow a mustache? Sure.
Yeah.
Because we are hardwired to recognize change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be scary.
Yes.
Yeah. That's part of our evolution, right? Okay. So if we don't have a comfortable situation, if we're facing the fight or flight, then that's danger, essentially. So that's the root of our resistance to change, mm-hmm. is that it's dangerous mm-hmm. to change. So what we're supposed to do is to train our brain to accept the changes so that we don't perceive them as dangerous every time.
Oh, I see.
So we're supposed to create alternative ways of doing things.
Okay.
Of the same thing.
Yes. So like that, a plan B.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a C and D and E.
Yes.
So that you've got options. Every single time you face a decision to be made, you know you have lots of options.
Right.
So that if change comes unexpectedly, naturally you think, well, then there's got to be another way of doing this.
Right. Just like, and you know, there are professions that are extremely good at this. Pilots.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like the dude who landed the plane in the Hudson River.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be able to change quick.
He was trained to simulate change.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Air traffic controllers, mm-hmm. first responders, right?
Yeah.
So I think we should all be simulating more.
Yeah, we should
be. What would I do if? And what would I do if?
Okay, so you know what we've always done?
What?
Take a break at the 15-minute mark.
Okay, what if we, no, well, we'll do that.
Okay, so today we're talking about change, but we're not going to change when the break time is.
Because we've always done it like this.
Yes.
Big changes ahead.
Yeah.
Well, there's change everywhere.
Well, it kind of doesn't mm-hmm. really rely on us to hold everything together, mm-hmm. does it? I mean, change is inevitable.
I mean, I guess it's just a matter of whether or not if we train ourselves to recognize it. So like this morning I got up, and Wednesday mornings I always think about the show. And I was thinking about the news, and I thought, it shouldn't be called news. It should be called change. And today's change, the market is down.
In today's weather,
it's cloudy. It's changed, right? It's wild.
See, this is why you're going to be such an awesome counselor.
So I'm going to start a petition. It should be called CBC Change World.
Oh, that's good. That's really good because that's the alternate pathway.
I know. And then people would say, because do you ever find people say, oh, I never watch the news. It's, too depressing. And I'm like, well, yeah, okay, there's depressing bits, but it's so exciting. Every day there's like, oh, today what happened?
I know, there's new things.
New
well,
change.
That's how our alarm in the morning is that just that CBC comes on, right?
Yeah.
And it's right at news time.
Yeah.
And sometimes the leading news is awful. And I say, oh, do we really have to yeah. wake up to the bad news? But sometimes it's something like really exciting.
Yes.
And so it kind of wakes you up going, oh, really?
Yeah.
That happened? Wow.
Yes. And yeah. you recognize it right away. But it's absolutely everything. Weather, traffic, I mean, news. This is all our hunger for tell me what's changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think instead of saying how are you, you should say what's changed for you. Right?
That's true. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. New petition.
Yeah.
So getting back to the
actual science of it. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Because we are going to get to the art of change eventually
yes.
here. But we love to blend art and science mm-hmm. together because they're such a lovely married couple.
Mm-hmm.
So the alternate pathways system is a great way to train yourself how to accept change.
Yes.
And also to gently nudge yourself, like to accept it as a human condition that we are resistant to change, to say, oh yeah, okay, yeah, I'm seeing it. I see that I'm stopping and that I'm outside of my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
But to gently push yourself towards those uncomfortable mm-hmm. things so that we, you know, get used to the feeling of the discomfort.
Yes. So yes. that we can adapt to it.
That's right.
Right.
And so ways to gently push yourself
yes.
would be some things that you can do in the arts.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
A really good one is writing.
Yeah.
Writing the words.
Because it's very intimate. So it's just you and your page. There's yep. nobody else watching.
That's right.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you get things down on paper, it manifests it? No, mm-hmm. not manifest. What's it? When you make something physical.
Well, just, I don't know.
Materialize.
Materialize.
No, that's not it either.
Legitimize.
I don't know. But it makes it something
it's
solid.
It's a witness to your thoughts, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you can actually write how you feel mm-hmm. about something changing. You can write all the options that are possible mm-hmm. because I think that's one of the things that we probably resist is seeing potential outcomes
yes.
that are positive.
Right.
You know, we always tend to see the potential outcomes that are bad.
Yeah. I'm going to get eaten by a dinosaur.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah
that's perfectly normal.
That's
too.
Our evolution, mm-hmm. right? Like that's mm-hmm. our fight or flight.
Yes.
So let's find the outcomes and write them all down that are positive mm-hmm. that could come out of this change.
Well, that's a pro and con list, right?
Yeah.
Pro. We'll do this. Con. It'll cost
it won't
this.
Work.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Going back to the
and in business, you know, it evolves into strategic planning and cost benefit analysis, and right. So businesses are very mm-hmm. good at studying change. They're not always very good at implementing.
Yeah, well,
change. Whereas I think the art world is great at implementing change, and then sort of reflective. Oh, look, that changed. I guess we're doing this now, right?
yeah. Yeah. I think we are very good at change.
Mm-hmm.
We're the little sailboat
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the giant cruise ship.
Yes.
Yeah,
very
and,
true.
And being a small organization is a benefit for that very reason.
Oh, because you can be fast and flexible and, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And the nudging part, like, it can be a change, like, even just look at our obsession with things like weight loss and diet and exercise.
Mm-hmm.
That's all about how do we embrace change.
Right.
Right?
Did you know that when faced with a fatal disease,
like yes.
a terminal disease, here's your two options. You can die of this terminal disease or you can change your behavior.
Yeah.
Only 1% of us are capable of changing
Isn't
our
that,
behavior.
Wow.
It's frightening.
Well, so we need to teach people how to change.
Exactly.
Instead of just teaching them, okay, this is how it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why I think that the simulation model is so, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Case studies or... like when I did my master's at SFU, it was based on the simulation model. So yes, there was theory and reading and exercise, but really the big thing was to simulate projects.
Mm.
So we had to make a pretend publishing house, and then we had to make a pretend magazine, and then we had to make a pretend website. And that was the only way to kind of work through all the, oh, I never really thought about that.
Or, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Right. It's yeah. all the unknowns.
Yes. So I love it when I see kids out in the community, learning from us, mm-hmm. watching us try to implement change. Because
yeah.
we're not, you know, that's why failure is important. We talk about that too.
Well, failure just is
but
another change.
But it doesn't
change.
Mean failure doesn't mean you're going to get eaten by a saber-toothed tiger.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think is sort of, in a way...
Well, that's why we fear it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
Because failure used to mean death.
Yes.
And it doesn't anymore.
Yeah, not anymore.
No. Okay. Another easy way of using the arts to help you to adapt to changes through music.
Okay, of course.
And even if you're not a musician, this is an easy one.
I am not a musician.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, try this.
Okay.
Listen to a different kind of music.
Oh.
I know. It's what? So easy.
You mean
there's, now.
There is other music than the 80s? I thought that's all there was.
Yeah, there is.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I forgot. Yeah.
It's true. We are quite fond of our own.
We have our comfort zone with music. And it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Other kinds of music. Oh. Like, I don't know like what the kids are listening to these days.
Well, Skrillex is what they're listening to.
Just download like 10 songs of the thing you think you hate the most and really listen.
Oh, that's a great idea. I should try that.
Yeah.
And it's only like $10.
I know. And it's like, and dance to it. Like, just figure it out, right? Mm-hmm. I was actually listening to some hip hop, which I despise, and I was listening to the lyrics, which were generally very positive.
Oh,
and I was thinking, what? I thought this was all about, you know, crime and hating cops and
gangsta.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
Not
it was
gangsta.
Actually, about women empowerment.
And, wow.
Yeah. So I was like, I actually should have listened to this.
I know we are creatures of habit, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what we are.
Yeah,
and it's comfortable.
Yes, it is comfortable. And so, here I'm thinking, I love change. Change is awesome, and yet I think I really only listen to music from the 80s. I only eat certain foods.
Yeah.
You know?
I know you don't eat chunky foods.
I don't like foods with more than 3 ingredients. Ridiculous. So in that's very much outside my...
Yeah, that's your comfort zone. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But art and design and painting, bring it. I'm the crazier the better. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
For some reason.
You mentioned earlier, I love this, that when somebody says to you, but we've always done it this way.
Yeah.
That's your... Yeah.
Oh, my hair stands up.
And I'm
that is just an invitation. So if you really want to get me going, well, we've always done it this way. We'll do it. I'm okay. All right. That's an invitation to change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, the designers of the world.
And I think that's why I had to leave the city and the big office, because it was hard for me to work in that environment. So I know I have challenges ahead because I'm moving into a very formal situation, but I'm going to have to temper it with a little bit of change.
Right.
Right? For me, just so I can get, really make the best of my time there.
Yeah. But this city is a bit of a sailboat compared to, like Toronto, Vancouver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're the cruise ships. They can't change very quickly.
No.
A city like Salmon Arm certainly can.
Yes. It's exciting.
It is. So even though you're going to have to undergo a lot of personal change and your time schedule, this is the thing about the creatives are so used to things being flexible and lots of, you can move freely through your day depending on where your brain is at. Mm-hmm. But in this new thing, you're going to have a lot more structure than you.
Yes, than I'm used to.
Yeah.
But that's a change and it'll be good for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because change is good.
I know. And then there's different parts, different times of the day where your brain is better at certain.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I wonder if that's why we go to the nightclub at night.
Not
why
just
isn't it called the morning club, right?
Well, yeah.
So that's probably hormonal but and change.
Nightclubs are for drinking and dancing.
Well, no, but I mean...
You don't do that in the morning.
But see, because we've always done it that way.
Yes, that's true. That's weird.
Right?
Now and that you mention it,
and
why do
it's
we
so
do that?
It's all about routine. Like if we were living in Spain, wouldn't that be wonderful? We'd just be getting out of bed now, wouldn't we? And then we go and have coffee and some really bad for you donut that's awesome. And then we go to work for a few hours and then we go for lunch for 4 hours and we'd have a nap. And then we go to work till 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And then go out till 11.
Yeah. Oh, well, I want to try that now. That sounds really good.
And they drink in the morning. I mean, I'm not advocating we drink in the morning, but we're such creatures of habit.
Yeah. So how did this structure develop in North America then?
I don't know.
Bizarre getting up early business and working all day.
When part of it is climate, right? Mm-hmm. And winter and summer and cold and daylight. But I don't, whereas in Spain, it's really hot in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah.
So you stay away from the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's hot here in the summertime.
Yes, I know.
The seasons change. Mm-hmm. And so we should have more of a European attitude in the summer.
Oh, wow.
And then we can go back to the new North American attitude in the winter.
Yes. Are we that capable of change?
No.
No.
Sorry.
Now we're talking about anthropology, really, right? Is that the word? How the human behavior.
Yeah, sociology. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's how we build our structure of society.
Yes.
To make it run smoother. Mm-hmm. Or at least we think we make it run smoother mm-hmm. by building these structures. Mm-hmm. But not necessarily.
No. And I mean, what if we didn't sleep at night? What if we slept during the day?
Well, that just isn't physiologically correct, no. right? Like, that's
so
the problem.
Some change is prevented because of our physiology.
Yeah. But electricity did for us too, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
It changed how much we sleep, mm-hmm. and it changed how much, our actual aging is affected by the extra light that we have from mm-hmm. electricity. So, mm-hmm. you know, we actually have we're aging faster in a way.
Is that right?
Yeah. But we're healthier. We're living longer, but we actually have more awake time because of electricity.
Oh, so we're getting more done. Too.
Yeah, and our cells are absorbing more light mm-hmm. than they used to, mm-hmm. and then you just you're just alive more, right?
But I mean, if you think about a city, for example, or any cult, you know, any culture shared a group who shares routine and values, say, let's call that a culture. Mm-hmm. Look at Vancouver. I mean, why do like look at commuting? Look at suburbs. Look at right. This is all based on patterns, and so. I think sometimes the patterns overtake the change, and we lose out on that. I couldn't do it. Like, I cannot imagine living my life living in Langley, commuting to Vancouver.
Is it because of the...
And only because we all have to work during the day. I would say, well, then why can't I work at home? I'll work at night. I'll work in the evening. Why do we all have to do everything the same way?
Yeah.
Right?
You're right.
So big cities blow me away that way because I look at the traffic and I think, wow, all you guys are doing the exact same thing.
Yeah. I could not even imagine getting in the car every single day and driving for an hour or an hour and a half to work.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
And more people than not do that.
Gosh.
Like Toronto, it's 2 hours. You can spend as much as 2.5 to 3 hours in your car every day.
Man.
And then you hear people say things like, well, yeah, but I like it because it's my downtime and I can relax. And I think, okay, that's just making an excuse.
Well, that scares me because you're not really relaxing in a car. And if you are, then I shouldn't be on the road next to you.
Yeah. And I think sometimes change is covered up by excuses. Oh, I can't go to the gym or tomorrow I'll go and have that walk. I'm terrible for that. I always think, tomorrow I'm going to go walk around McGuire Lake.
Yeah. Well,
and
boy,
I don't.
Talk about resistance to change. January 1st of every year.
Yes.
We all make the plan to change and then we don't.
Yes, because the pattern is to change, but it's not about the change. It's about the pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so deep.
Right?
We're getting... Yeah. Well, yeah. Change is pain, really.
Yes, it is.
Change is pain.
But it... And there's so much possibility.
Yeah. Oh. Ooh. So more ways of teaching ourselves to change in the creatives, in the creative sector. And one of those things I just have to point out, because I wrote it down earlier, is to move your furniture.
Oh.
Yeah. Rearrange your living room.
Good idea.
That is a massive change.
Yeah. It's impossible. I have a little house. If I move one stick of one piece of even a chair,
I'll bet you it changes the whole thing. You could totally change your living room.
I know I could.
You could do it.
I know.
And I know it would feel like, that doesn't work. Yeah. That doesn't work. But you know what? You'd learn to live
but
with it.
I just do little things like, I think I'll change that picture.
Yeah.
Switch it out for another one. That makes me happy.
But imagine walking into your living room and not sitting down at the same spot that you've sat down on for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So, just have to have a consideration of that. Mm-hmm. And
just little wee break the patterns.
It is.
Yeah.
The pattern is there. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes a comfortable, happy, wonderful pattern. Mm-hmm. But it's just one way that you can help yourself adjust to change when it does happen mm-hmm. is by making a new pattern.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of that. Seinfeld. Did you watch Seinfeld?
Yes.
Okay. Well, remember when George decided to be opposite?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was so successful all of a sudden because like, he went against his instincts.
Exactly. He would always have corned beef on rye and a coffee. He's like, no, chicken salad with a cup of tea. And then boom, everything.
And then all these good things happen. I know, it was great.
But that's what that was about in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because if our pattern isn't working for us, change it. Yeah.
And it's the simple, it's there, it's right there in the air and our fingertips ready to.
Yeah. And it's also simple. That's the worst thing is that it's right there. It's easy to access things that you can change, things you have control over, because there's lots of things we don't have control over.
No.
And so let's
the weather
grab the things that we do have control over and mix it up.
Yeah. And you can fill the same need, right?
Like you and I should change chairs one day.
Ooh, that's just crazy.
Yeah. That's crazy talk.
I know.
Because then you'd be in charge of watching for the green card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could do that.
I know you could.
Definitely could do it. Maybe tomorrow. See?
Totally. On January 1st.
That's procrastination comes in too.
It does.
Yeah.
That's
anti-change. I don't want to do this now.
Well, no, because it's all about comfort and the red alert. We just, everything feels like danger if it's going to change, if we are forced to change. So let's learn how to not see it as danger.
Mm-hmm. 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 So, well, and so, you know, to talk about arts, I mean, it's not just painters, it's sculptors, it's musicians, it's also writers, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think through the arts, we have a body of work where we can watch patterns evolve and then we can watch patterns change, right? And so unlike, you know, well, I guess in politics too, or even business, but in the arts particularly, there are genres and movements, right? So this was the Renaissance and then this was, you know, Victorian age, and then this happened, and then, you know, so we tend to, but it's so interesting to watch, to know the stories of when one thing slowly moved to the other.
Yeah.
Right?
Because those were big changes.
Yeah.
And in fact, most of the movements that got their names, the names that describe the movements are from critics.
Yes.
Who denounced the artists who were doing those things as, you know, whatever, as degenerates or as fauvists or whatever.
And, or minimalist.
Yeah.
Terrible thing to call a
person. It's all, but it's all because they were resistant to change. Mm-hmm. This is the way we've always done it.
Yes.
And what you're doing is awful because it's not the way we've always done it.
And so it is, I think, for me, the arts isn't just the arts, it's the history of how change happens. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to understand a moment in history or an era, or you can go to the arts and watch it evolve, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I keep thinking, well, what's the next thing going to be?
I know, but you know what? We don't get it until after.
I know.
Like 20 years after.
I wonder what it'll be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But one of the things that actually I wanted to point out, I think last show, was when Matisse did his first portrait with the green face, the lady with the green face. I can't remember the title of that one. But that was pretty horrific for a lot of people. That was not real. That was not how people look. You don't have a green face, especially in a lady, and a weird, mucked up face that was kind of crooked. One of the things, though, that happened is that they had to change their drawing style in order to adopt these new wild colors and these new wild shapes. You had to simplify. So it was not just a change like the Fauves and the Impressionism movement and then the Expressionists. They didn't just change the wild colors. They had to simplify their whole composition and drawing formulas in order for these wild colors to be.
You can't really change one thing.
No, you can't. And so that's what sort of, there was a core there that went totally away from realism because of that. Mm-hmm. Once they realized they could simplify shape and form, that was the beginning of the abstract movement. That's huge.
Yes.
That was a huge change for the art world.
Yeah. And even just going from it, going even further before the Renaissance, like everything was 2D. There was no 3D paint, everything, you know, like still
like
life.
Perspective and stuff.
And if you look at paintings of royalty and, right? It was really flat. And then, you know, at some point about the Renaissance, they started adding dimension and shadow and right?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, there was very few artists that understood perspective mm-hmm. before then too.
Mm-hmm.
And things like atmospheric perspective, like in Da Vinci's, the Mona Lisa, mm-hmm. that was one of the best examples of atmospheric perspective.
Yeah.
Not very many artists used that.
No.
And of course, during some dark times, all that knowledge disappeared.
Yes.
Yeah. So there was some pretty horrendous changes too happening in the early Renaissance.
And that's probably why those pieces, it was the Mona Lisa, the most amazing piece ever painted, not necessarily, but it was indicative of the most important change.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So was, well, here we go again, was Voice of Fire the most inspiring abstract piece ever made? I don't know, would you call it abstract? I would.
But, yeah. Yeah.
No, but it was an important change.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And that's the thing, like that's why people resist it in mm-hmm. the beginning. And maybe art is a very easy example to use
mm-hmm.
or easy thing for us to be able to complain about
mm-hmm.
because it's not a do or die situation. Bad art or a different art mm-hmm. or some insane crazy thing that you think is not art isn't going to kill us. Right?
No, it's true. Yeah.
So it's not
like the red alert, the plague or.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Ebola, the giant inflatable poop that blew away. I mean, that might have hurt somebody.
No puppies were killed in the incident.
No, not
a one.
But we can get angry about change like that, right?
Yes.
Like we can say, whoa, no. And it's not a problem because we won't mm-hmm. suffer from it. But at the same time, it's still indicative of our love of pattern and things that are the
mm-hmm.
same.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, I mean, let's just look at the current geopolitical systems mm-hmm. and resisting change.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we could have a whole discussion on government
mm-hmm.
and why there is no change.
No, or there is change, or they measure change in only a certain way.
Yeah.
Right. So we're the petroleum economy or the petroloony, and the petroloony is down today because the Senate voted against Keystone Pipeline. There are people in Ottawa who are extremely nervous.
Did the Senate, the American Senate, voted against?
No.
Wow,
but,
I didn't even hear that.
Yeah.
See, that was my, this morning I was listening to Voice of the Shoe Swap instead of
CBC Change Channel. But it'll pass in the new year because there's been a change in the Senate.
Right, they haven't been sworn in yet, have they?
Yes, yeah.
Right.
So,
just those Republicans were anxious to get something happening.
Yes, they were. And, you know, the China-U.S. Climate reduction in greenhouse gases deal.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of change happening, and I think where the government, they try to control how we measure that change, right?
Mm.
So whether it's interest rates or the loonie or unemployment or GDP or the surplus, you know, they're always trying to engineer those messages in a way that we go, oh, that's good. That's a good change, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think when I hear government surplus, it makes me very nervous.
Well, yeah, I know, because it means we have less services.
Yes. Or you took more than you should have.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. They should come out even at the end of the day.
I think they should.
Yeah.
And I know we owe a lot in our debt, and we never talk about the debt. We just talk about surplus, right? So it's about crafting those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And
but it feels to me,
so
like
everybody,
as an outsider,
yeah, and people say, well, I don't want anything to change. I want it to stay the same. I want to stay the course, right?
But I feel like I want, as an individual, I want the opposite in my government. I
mm-hmm.
want to see change. I want to see them look for new ways of doing things, alternative mm-hmm. pathways.
Yes, or
but
alternative
not,
pathways.
I don't see it happening. Like, I see the same pathways again and again and again.
Other ways to get our lights into our houses and our fuel and the energy into our cars, you know.
Yeah.
And if there were some nudging done, okay, no, we can't, everybody, you know, turn your cars in, we're all going to ride bicycles. That's not happening.
No.
Either.
And it's not really possible.
No.
This is the thing that I have learned over time, is that there
it's the
are
transition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that we never actually will be able to be a fossil fuel free economy. There's always situations like even like the farmer's field, you know, he's out there with the combine.
Yeah.
It's really hard to run that puppy on electric.
Yeah.
You know,
and
batteries.
I don't think we want to go back to, you know, we can't abandon progress necessarily either. Ask the farmers, do they want to go back to handheld tools that they, you know, Yeah. Is it efficient? Will it feed the world?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So we have, I mean, there's things, there's options. Mm-hmm. It's just that we don't seem to be embracing those yeah. changes as a whole. And I think that in this situation with the petroleum thing, it really has to be government led.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do everything we can as individuals, but the government has to make policy to make certain changes.
Well, or elect people who will open up that opportunity. Mm-hmm. I mean, the other thing is interesting segue is during the election, I heard many times I heard the word naysayer.
Hmm.
Oh, well, the naysayers.
And what's a naysayer?
Well, someone who says no to something that you want.
Okay.
The naysayer said this, or what about the naysayers? And that word is poison. It's toxic.
Yeah.
Because a naysayer is a yes sayer for someone who doesn't share your point of view.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not that we're saying no to each other. It's that we're saying different things and we're not listening.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So no one person is a naysayer.
No, I totally
it's just yeah. when you're on one side of
it's
things,
an urban
the
myth.
Other side is yeah. a naysayer.
Yeah, it's like Ogopogo. There aren't a lot of people saying completely no to everything.
Yeah.
Right?
It's so strange. Like mm-hmm. when you think about it, that's such an abstract concept. The mm-hmm. naysayer.
The naysayer.
There is no
actual
NIMBYs. Naysayer.
Yeah, not in my backyard.
Yeah. Right? Well, there are NIMBYs.
Well, of course there are NIMBYs, yeah. but they're not saying no. Just because they say no to your thing doesn't mean they're not saying yes to something else.
That's true.
Yeah. And so that's what's so fascinating about change is the first thing you have to do is to get people of different opinions at the same table.
Mm-hmm.
And what ultimately you find is we all want the same thing.
Yeah.
We just would approach it differently.
Exactly. Well, that's what happened with the whole smart centers debate, right? Mm-hmm. Is that most of the, I guess, what people on the pro-development side would have called naysayers because they were just saying no to development. If you actually talk to those people, they had lots of alternative ideas.
They weren't saying no at all.
They weren't saying no. They just said, let's do this smart. Yeah. Let's do this differently. Let's do this so that it embraces a lot of our ideas yeah. and rather than just the economic yeah. ideal.
And as a result of that process that didn't work well, all right, let's just that we're not talking about what the outcome was, just mm-hmm. the process. That's always was always my thing, the issue I had with it. They have done design charrettes. They have done smart growth projects. There's all sorts of really interesting stuff that came away as a result of those conversations. So, and sweet. I think when we're pitted against each other, like this is the yes camp and this is the no camp, or these are the Tories and these are the liberals, all we're doing is wasting all that energy opposing each other when we should really, we could build on that. And
yeah.
Right.
Because that is the catalyst for change.
Absolutely.
Is when we work together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now,
as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Well, dramatic moments are pretty much always about change.
Yes, they are.
Something changed.
Something changed. I know. I can't wait for Peter Mansbridge to say, welcome to CBC Change World. Yeah.
I am so tweeting him right now.
Yes? Okay, let's do it. So we decided that dramatic moments don't necessarily have to be current dramatic moments.
Yeah, we just decided that today.
Did we say a current dramatic moment?
That's right.
So we're going to wind back the clock and go back to 1948 in Ooh. Montreal, mm-hmm. in Quebec. 16 young artists wrote a manifesto called Le Refus Global, which was global refusal. Right. So to think about Quebec in the 50s, here was a society basically controlled by the Roman Catholic Church controlled right. The state. Right. So there wasn't much church state nope. separation.
The church and, was the state.
Yes. And they were the most, I guess that you would say, pious of all Canadian provinces in terms of attendance at church. Mm-hmm. They also had the highest birth rate.
Mm-hmm.
And within a single generation, they went from the highest birth rate and the highest attendance in organized religion to the lowest.
Wow.
And I think if looking back, because, you know, that's mm-hmm. the thing about change, we don't really get to see it till after it happens.
Yeah.
I think it started then.
With this group of artists
and their manifesto, and they were completely rejecting the social, artistic, psychological norms and values of the society they were living in. So they went from painting, street scenes and people and artifacts and religious symbols. Because if you look at Quebec art. There's a lot of, you know, Madonnas and
yeah
babies and even like I'm sure we talked about this before, the hospital I was born in was the hospital of the baby Jesus, right? Yeah. So it's really part of that world. And so they were doing abstract, and these are very gifted artists, and all of this was happening sort of in the shadow of the Group of Seven. Mm-hmm. So I would argue that Refuge Labat and the 16 Quebec painters had more impact. I know, that's a dramatic moment. That more is impact than the Group of Seven.
Wow.
Dun, dun, dun.
You just said that like
out loud.
On community radio.
My gosh. All right.
No, but you know what? You're right. In terms of in terms of societal change. Mm-hmm.
That Parlement, Bourdieu, Rio Pal, I mean, these are like these heavy hitters in their day. And they weren't just making art. They were changing society.
Wow.
Right? And probably a lot of Quebecers don't even realize that, but it is a recognized was a very impactful social change.
And so it was like almost overnight.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing, right?
Well, you know, overnight, one generation overnight. Yeah,
but
right?
I mean, like the what they did, their manifesto, so in a single act.
Yeah, and they were probably just absorbing what they were feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that the people wanted change.
Yeah.
And and that's the other thing about artists, they're very empathic. They sort of absorb.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
They do. And we're all mirrors. We all do that. We all reflect our surroundings in different mm-hmm. ways. But when artists do it, it comes out as a visual. When visual artists do it, it comes out as this, you know, an image.
Yeah, or a book, a permanent record.
Yes,
of, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Whereas if you're an accountant, you might change a ratio or a, right? About, and it, but it, you are making change. It's just, it's not as permanent and impressive a record.
Right. And maybe not archival, right? Like maybe not lasting a couple of generations
exactly.
so that people can look back and go, mm-hmm. oh, look at that.
Yeah, that's the other thing is the archival element to art and music and, right?
And writing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a record of all time.
And it really, you know, my parents lived through, or my mom lived through that. My aunts and uncles lived through that. They might not know who Bourdieu or Rio Pal, well, my mom would, but some, you know, her cousins maybe don't know. But they were part of that movement. So
amazing.
Yeah, it's such a so that's the dramatic moment that the Refuge Labat was more important than
that group of seven.
If there's any art students out there want to write a theory, that would be a great thesis.
Yeah,
wouldn't it?
Oh, I was just talking to my 13-year-old is already talking about her university plans, and she wants to figure out what she's going to write her master's thesis on.
Oh my god, my 12-year-old's still talking about what happened on the weekend.
Well, it was.
Wow.
I know it's because she wants to be.
She's embracing change.
Yes. But she wants to be an art teacher. And so she's got it all planned out.
Yes.
And during the strike, mm-hmm. One of their teachers, like the kids were asking them, why do the teachers want more? And the teacher actually broke it down for them and showed them what teachers make. And, mm-hmm. and if you have a bachelor's degree, this is what you make. And if you have a master's degree, mm-hmm. this is what you make.
Oh, yeah.
And so, of course, you know, my daughter's like, whoa, I'm getting my master's.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big difference.
I've seen the night.
Yeah. So she's already figured out, okay, I'd like to do college first because it's nice, small classes. And then I want to do university. And then I'm going to go to a different university for my master's, like maybe in Paris or Madrid. I know. And then I have to think about what my thesis is going
to
be.
Well, you're going to have to go with her to help her set up her apartment.
I guess so.
So they also have long lunches in Paris.
I think I might have to do
our 20-minute, I'll eat my sandwich at my desk.
See, that's exactly what change is or that's the kind of thing I'd like to see come down from the top, so to speak, right? That kind of thing is going to get worse and worse. Just because on a personal level, we all have our individual aspirations. Mm-hmm. We want to get more work done so mm-hmm. that we've got more leisure time, but it never really works out that way, blah, blah, blah. But if somebody at the top said, you have a mandatory 90-minute lunch hour that all employers, I mean, this would be a nightmare,
well,
right?
What
because
they do in
all the employers would freak out and say, I can't do it, I can't afford it.
Vacation.
Yeah.
Although
but it has
France
to come from a legislative
well.
kind of point of view, right?
Well, or, it's a cultural difference.
Yeah, but we wouldn't do it unless some government made
it happen.
Well,
we could do it, but I don't know how well there would be.
Well, I mean,
we would be taking a risk.
Oh, for
in
sure.
terms of our employment.
But it wouldn't help all of Canadian society if
wouldn't.
We did it on
no,
our own, right?
No. And you know, so in, like, and I think about cultural change, and there's always books in the Globe and Mail. You know, I'm always struck by the top 10 nonfiction. How to change this, how to beat the market, how to, or, I mean, this is going back a bit, but how the Irish changed civilization. Everybody read that, or many people read that book, or, mm-hmm. or the French woman diet, you know, or yeah. how to eat chocolate and drink champagne and still be slim and fabulous diet. You know, like it's, that's, it's really all about, they were dancing with change.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And yet we've got, okay, so if the top 10 books are all about how to change,
yeah.
and we're still doing the same thing that we've always done because we've always done it that way, mm-hmm. what does that say about how we can implement our behavioral changes? Well,
I think,
changes?
You know, I think we need to see innovation in leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
we do.
And I think we're going to have a federal election sooner rather than later. And I, for one, will vote for the first guy who doesn't have a press conference with a bunch of people standing behind him with the Canadian flags and the little political symbols. Ah, boring. Change it up.
Yeah.
That'd be a great campaign slogan. Change it up.
It could be.
Yeah.
See, when you run for prime minister, that can be your slogan.
Yeah. Well, that's a while. I got work to do. I'm still learning.
Got 4 years.
Yeah.
You can learn the ropes in 4 years.
Still have to learn many, many things.
Oh, but it's
but
all
I'm
good.
Excited about it.
It's all good.
Yeah, and I'm excited for you and all your change in your house and your ride, your bike to work.
I know. That's the biggest thing is that I'll be able to change my mode of transportation.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, you actually could give away the keys to your car.
I can't really.
No.
I still got to use fuel. I'm sorry. Okay. I got to use fossil fuel.
But you're getting closer.
I am.
Right.
I'm using less and less and less.
But there's a lot of people been working hard to change events.
Yes.
That we
yes.
can
upcoming
participate
events.
In because we're getting close already. Well, my goodness. That went by.
I know.
Yeah.
That's the fun thing about the arts is that it's not just about creating these beautiful societal movements and helping us reflect the world around us for the archival purposes of being able to recognize important change, mm-hmm. but we provide the now. We provide the now excitement, the now entertainment, the now creativity.
Mm-hmm. So even if it's an evening,
yes,
that can lead to much change.
And this is the thing about how to make small alternate pathways in your life is to do something different. Mm-hmm. So have you been to the opera?
I have not been to the opera in many years.
You should go and see the live in HD opera at Selmar because it's such, like, it really is high definition.
So they live broadcast it from the Met in New York City. Wow,
yep.
Right?
And it's live.
Yes.
Like, it's live.
And good quality.
So, I mean, if something messes up, you're seeing it.
Nice.
Like, it's not the edited version.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not that they would mess up, but whatever. Anyway, the next opera is on the 22nd, Saturday. And it's.
Which one is it?
I don't know.
Like there's only
I can't pronounce most of them anyway. But
no, but that sort of implies there's only like 12. But there's many. There's hundreds and thousands of them.
But it doesn't even matter. I'm
it's
just
like,
thinking
who's playing
if you've got
the Canucks.
Yeah. But but if you've got a Saturday afternoon, like maybe you're
especially
a bit busy
in this
right
kind
now.
Of weather.
It's true. Yeah. This is the time to be indoors for 2 hours eating popcorn with other people in the dark.
Yeah, and you can't eat popcorn at the Met, I bet.
Well, probably not.
Yeah.
And you can choose. You could dress up in your furriest outfit and crazy outfit and wear your best boots.
Yes.
Or you can go in your jammies.
Oh, my goodness.
You could not do that in New York.
No. Well, you could, but.
Well, they might not let
you in.
Could
you? They probably wouldn't let you into the Met.
Anyway, the Selmar Association would have all that information on their website about the opera on Saturday. And there's the Vermeer exhibition on screen. It's the third and final installment of the documentary series that the Selmar and the
Already?
Art Gallery have teamed up to do. And unfortunately, it's on swearing in night.
I know.
But you're going to have a million people there already. So if I just run in quickly and go, hi, Louise.
Yeah, that's fine.
Then it's
no,
okay.
I don't want you to miss a good movie.
Well, it's because we do the reception first, right? So we have the reception and we just do our little academia and I give away little fridge magnets. That's kind of crazy. And we eat food that the Blue Canoes created for us and drink wine. And then we all trundle down, walk down to the theater and watch these documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
And the one on Edvard Munch was so fabulous.
Was it?
It was the least attended so far, but it was absolutely the most entertaining in terms of...
Yeah, because you learned so much about...
We did. Yes. It was so wonderful. And
he embraced change.
Oh, totally.
Like a big way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think I said this before, that the Scream is such a tiny, weeny little example of his big freeze of life, over 40 paintings in the freeze of life. And then all of his portraits, he was a master portrait artist.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, so these things are wonderful.
And that's December 1st at 6?
At 6 o'clock is the reception at and the 7:30 is the movie.
Yes.
And you can get tickets. They're $25. It includes everything. Mm-hmm. Like, where else do you get an art history course in 2 hours with wine and a comfy seat, right? And a full belly.
Yes.
$25 or $22 for youth. You can get your tickets at the gallery or at the Salmar Theater. And yeah, it's on Jan Vermeer, the Dutch painter.
Oh, I bet you'd be fantastic.
The girl with the pearl earring.
There you go.
So for everybody out there who's planning on going or who already has their tickets, I want to challenge you to wear your pearl earrings.
Okay.
Pearl earrings.
Pearl earrings.
On everybody.
All right.
Men too.
Men too. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then coffee break is tomorrow. The current exhibition, Cindy Whitehead and her pastels, which is stunning.
Oh, beautiful.
It is a really beautiful show. And there's a lot of familiar places in her pastels, like the Larch Hills and the wildlife sanctuary down the foreshore. So it just makes you feel like, oh, yeah.
I've been there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember that day I went there.
And yes.
Yeah, it's quite nice. Very familiar. She's having her artist talk and coffee break.
And very peaceful.
Thursday.
Speaking, if you get to leave your desk for lunch.
Yeah.
You know. Think about doing a quick walkthrough of the show. I bet your blood pressure will drop by 10 points.
For sure. So calming
and beautiful and blue and gentle, and it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations. That's her first.
It's her first solo exhibition.
That's a big.
It is a biggie.
Big deal.
Yeah, you kind of have to give up a year of your life to do a solo show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
we've got, so there are also Film Society movies, jazz on Thursday as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Safe Word, 7 p.m. At the Shoeswap Chef's Banquet Room. So that's just Thursday night, which is what, the 20th. I'm starting to lose track of the dates here. 20th. Thursday the 20th. And then the Coffee House at Little Mountain Field House
is
on Friday as well. So lots of opportunity for change.
Change it up,
everybody. Everyone can get more arts events information on the website, salmonarmartscenter.ca. See you next time on Artscape. I'm Tracy Kutchker.
And I'm Louise Wallace Richmond.
And we wish you a healthy change week.
That's right. Embrace it.
Yes.
A little bit at a time.
Bye
See
for
you
now.
There.